Good afternoon. I'm Jamila Erickson, here with today's Midday Interview. I'm very happy to have Emily Collin in the studio with me today. She's been on the air before talking with us because she works for Dreams, but she is now a novelist. She's written her first book called The Memory Thief. There's a book release party tomorrow at 6 p.m. at Dreams, and the good friends from Pomegranate Books will be there selling copies of the book, and Emily will be doing a reading, and she'll be signing books. Reviewers call The Memory Thief dazzlingly original, haunting as a dream, mesmerizing, and I have to tell you that when I took the book home to read it, I ended up staying up all night because I just needed to know what happened next. So, Emily Collin, thank you so much for coming in today.
Thank you for having me, Jamila.
Now, this book is a mystery, and there's a love story, and there's a lot going on in there. Without giving too much away, can you tell us about the story?
Absolutely. As you said, there is a love story, and there is a ghost story, and there is a mystery. And there's also some adventure, because several of the characters are high-altitude mountaineers. And it's basically the story of one man whose commitment to his wife follows him beyond the grave, and somebody else across the country who wakes up in possession of that man's secrets.
It's one of the most unusual plot devices, one of the most unusual ideas of what can happen in the afterlife that I've ever seen. Like, there's this in-between place where people can connect with each other between life and the next life, if you believe that. And it was really one of the devices that pulled me along really deeply into the story. I wanted to know what was next. Talk a little bit about the characters, the main characters in the book.
Sure. One of the main characters, Aidan James, he is the mountaineer who dies in an avalanche very early on Alaska's Mount McKinley. And in fact, he, even though he is dead, is one of the three first-person narrators in the story as a ghost. The other two first-person narrators are his wife, Maddie, who's left behind, and Nicholas, the man who wakes up in possession of Aidan's memories.
They have some interesting conflicts that come up, and you've talked with me about how each person's journey in the book forces them to take a look at their life and what's important to them, and they have to make some decisions and some changes and decide who they are and what they want. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Sure. I think mountaineering works wonderfully for a device in that way, because it's all about an extreme, pushing yourself and your body to the point where, as one of the characters says in the book, there's no room to worry about your broken down car or your taxes. You're just doing what you are there to do to the best of your ability for as long as it takes you to do it. And while you're on the mountain with these people, you really truly have an opportunity to find out what they are made of. And so for each character in the book, in their own different ways, it is about being willing to take risks, being open to what comes, not being afraid, and really truly pursuing what it is that makes you into your true self. How that happens for everybody, from a 4-year-old boy to a 34-year-old man, and everyone in between, is a little bit different.
I love the way that Gabe, the child, ends up being a bridge between the other world and this world, because children are so often more open to that, and that's a really wonderful thing that happens in the book as well. I hope I'm not giving away too much there. Okay, stop, Jamila, stop. One of the things that's intriguing to me about the book also is that there is that intensity of the life of someone who is climbing a mountain, and those scenes are very vivid. And I wonder how you did the research for that, because I have read that you yourself are afraid of heights.
Yes, I do not like heights at all. And so when the idea for this came to me, I thought, oh my gosh, surely there's another idea, an idea for which I am better suited. But this just grabbed hold of me and wouldn't let go. And so I did a lot of research. In the beginning, it was armchair research, reading books, watching movies, everything I could find. And then it moved to going out to Colorado, getting a sense of the culture out there, being lucky to connect with multiple outward bound climbing instructors who allowed me to shadow them and ask a million ignorant questions. And then when Climb On, the climbing gym in Wilmington, was still active, I spent a lot of time there as well. And one of the gentlemen who used to own that gym, Walter Scott Kiesling, became my climbing consultant, I like to call him, and he very kindly and generously reviewed all the sections of the book line by line that had to do with climbing. And we met at Port City Java after he read them, and he took napkins and he sketched for me, this is the way this person would fall, and this is how long they would lie in their axe. And that was just invaluable. I can't thank him enough.
Oh, that's wonderful to have a research partner like that, an advisor. If you're just joining us, I'm talking with Emily Collins. She has written her first novel called The Memory Thief. She has already written her second novel, which is with her agent now and is being read and looked at and considered for publication. There is a wonderful book release party tomorrow evening, Saturday evening at 6 o'clock at Dreams, and Pomegranate Books will be there with copies of the book. Emily, tell people where Dreams is if they haven't been there, because it's in a new location now.
Yes, we moved, and we are in a fabulous former bus maintenance garage owned by the city. It's beautiful, and it is on 10th and Fanning Street, somewhere near DC Virgo in the area of New Hanover High School on the downtown north side. It is actually Fanning between 10th and Anderson, and you cannot miss it because we have a big white garage door with the Blue Dreams logo on it.
Great. Now let's talk a little bit more about the idea in the book of the sort of the afterlife scenario with that "I will come back to you" is what Aiden says to his wife, and then how that manifests in the book, if you can talk about that. And also, what was the spark that inspired you to write this particular story?
Well, second things first, I guess.
Yes.
It's a little easier to answer. The spark, I had gone to the library and randomly pulled a woman's memoir about losing her husband in a climbing accident. And actually, it was not that he was traversing a very, very tricky slope. He was walking across a slope in the Himalayas, and he had done many, many things before that were extremely challenging and dangerous. This was not supposed to be, but there was a freak avalanche and he was killed. And that made me think about, wow, what must it be like to be someone that chooses this as a career? Who is it that is drawn to this? Is it, in a sense, the same people who would be drawn to being explorers a long, long time ago? And beyond that, what must it be like to choose to connect your life through all kinds of relationships, friendship, romantic relationships, to this person? And it really got me thinking about how easy in many ways and how convenient in many ways life can be for us now, and the alternate possibility of choosing to live your life this way. And that really was the spark.
Mm-hmm. I might actually pull back that question and I will come to you. I don't want you to get into too many details because I'd have to be yelling spoiler alert during the interview. But it is important part of the book, how much love can carry over past death and the ways that we are connected, whether visually and physically or not. And that's a real powerful aspect of the story. Talk a little bit with us about the process of getting a book published. You are through Random House. It's a Ballantine Trade paperback original. It's a very highly regarded publisher. I know that your journey to publication was long and there were obstacles, but there must have been some milestones and encouragements along the way.
Absolutely. Once I decided to write the book, I was very lucky to connect with the writer Caroline Levitt through UCLA Writers Extension Program. And I took a novel writing class with her, and she fell in love with the book, fortunately for me, and she became my mentor. And she was my guide and sort of my shepherd, I guess, through the process. She told me I needed for sure to find an agent, and she told me to query no fewer than 75 agents before
wow.
I even thought about giving up. And so me being me, I made a spreadsheet and I put 133 agents on there. And it was a very rigorous process, which agents I approached, how I found them, how I queried them. It took me about 9 months. And then I found a wonderful, wonderful agent. And she sold it to Random House in a process that was far faster than the search for her, luckily. It was a lot of work, but I learned a lot along the way. And it was definitely worth it in the end.
Emily, in just the minute that we have left, a couple of minutes, do you have a sense now that your book is being published that your life will change?
Well, I feel that it has already changed in certain ways. It's great to have my imaginary friends out there in the world. But in other ways, I'm excited. I feel very fortunate and lucky. I look forward to seeing what the future brings. But, you know, I'm still a mother every day to my 7-year-old son, and I'm still at Dreams every day doing the best I can there. And so I feel like it's a matter of putting it all together and knitting it together in a pattern that makes sense. But I'm excited to see what the future will hold.
Has your agent talked to you at all, or your publisher talked with you about doing book tours?
Yes, and in fact, I had my first book event a couple days ago in Southern Pines, and of course, I've got my book event here and another event at the Regulator, and I'll be going down to a trade show in Florida in early September.
Oh, boy. I have a feeling that you have quite a future ahead of you as an author. I'm excited that your second book is already in the process of being completed, and congratulations, Emily Collin.
Thank you.
Emily Collin has a website. You can read more about this book, find out where to buy it. You can actually also see something called a book trailer, which she'll tell us about in a second. Her website is Emily Collin, which is collin.com. Again, emilycollin.com. And just briefly, what's a book trailer?
A book trailer is to the book industry what a movie trailer is to the movie industry. In my case, about 90 seconds that will give you a visual sense, a preview, and a glimpse into the book, created in collaboration with Book Candy Studios in Atlanta.
Oh, that's so great. Emily Collin, thanks so much for coming in today, and congratulations.
Thank you so much for having me, Jamila.
This is WHQR.